that verse is wrote wrong. The last part, but nevertheless, let's sing it anyhow. Praise God. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for this precious fountain that we can come and drink from. And we thank you that this is the privilege which is ours as the people of God, that we may draw now into thy presence by this new and living way through the precious shed blood of the Lamb. Father, we pray this morning that thou would come amongst us by the inspiration and by the power of the Holy Ghost. Lord, that thou would touch every heart and every life and every mind and every being in this room in the name of Jesus. Have free course, we pray. Bless your word to their hearts. And Lord, I take the promised Holy Spirit and I thank you, undertake for me in Jesus' precious name. Bless our visitors, Lord. Bless all that's said and done, we pray. For the glory of the Lord in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Shake his hands, whoever's beside you. Say the Lord bless you. God bless you. Praise God. Amen. You may be seated for a moment. Praise the Lord. The Lord bless each and every one. It's really good to have a brother here and the family with us from Australia. May the Lord bless you. And may the Lord bless everyone that's here. There's a few missing, perhaps working and things, but anyhow. The Lord bless each and every one. Praise God. And we know there's a big event next Saturday. Somebody's getting married. And just keep praying for Brother Mark and Sister Ruth that the Lord will be everything to them. Amen. And meet their every need at this time. And that the Lord's blessing will be upon them. Praise God. And you know, Brother Branham once said, he said, the greatest thing a man can get is salvation. And then the next best thing after salvation is a good wife. So Mark, you're on the right track. And it is the Lord's blessing. The Bible says, for this reason a man shall leave his father and mother. Amen. And we just thank God for the word of God. Praise God. You know, just to tell you about, you heard me mention about a fella in jail. His name is John Felician, and he's a Romanian, from Romania, originally he's from Romania, and he was in a massive church in Romania, and Brother Brian and Howard preached over there in Romania, and this brother's in the church where they went. But this man really, God blessed him. He prayed that God would bless him, and God blessed him financially. But when he got the blessing, it was the worst thing for him, because it took him away from God. And he went into the world, and he was in the world, he was in the church, and he was up and down. And he got away from God, and really, to cut a long story short, his marriage split. And his wife left him, went back to her parents, and he ended up coming here to Ireland illegally to work, and he ended himself up in jail. And I went to see him this week. He's been in there over a year. He's doing a 3-year sentence, and he has had nobody's visited him in over a year because he doesn't know anybody here to visit him. But I'll tell you, he was glad to see me. And you know, I prayed with him, talked with him. He seems that he's really seeking God. He seems to be very sincere. He says he doesn't want money, he doesn't want anything, he wants God. And he knows he's been wrong and all them things, and he wants God. And I've already sent him sermon books, you know, Brother Branham message books, different wee sermon books, and he says he's met so many people he's been able to give them to. They've read them, they said they've never read nothing like it. These are Chinese people and everything in this jail. And he told me how they did things on him in the jail. They didn't give him a mattress for over a week. He had to lay on the springs. They set him up, really, so that he did the full term, really, is how they did it. And they weren't good to him, really, by the sounds of it, because he's a foreigner and they don't want him. But he's seeking God, and he's given these books out and things, and he's wanting more books. I brought a box more load of stuff to him. But you pray for him, that God will really deliver him, save him. And you see, this is the thing. He can be brought up in a message church, and that's wonderful. But if you never have had an experience, amen, with Christ, yes, it means nothing. And this man was brought up, brought through the right circles. He met a young woman. She was the same way. But he said, you see, he was in and he was out. He had no real foundation in his soul. The thing that Brother Bratton called the tie post.
Yes,
and he says, if you've ever had a tie post,
yes,
that's where you're anchored to.
Right,
and even though you would try to drift here or there or yonder, you're tied. You're anchored. And you will not go far. The boat might sway a bit and rock a bit, but it can't go beyond what is tied to that post. It's hell.
Amen.
And the Bible and the song both say it, steadfast and sure,
amen,
in the rock Christ Jesus. And I'll tell you, without an experience, it's only wood, hay and stubble. But you know, the brother Florin from Romania, he's a genuine brother. He's a good brother, and there's lots of good brothers there. And it's not the fault of the church he went to or anything like that. It's like if somebody from here went out and somebody found them and they weren't saved, then they would say, well, they come from that crowd over there in Scarborough. Well, you see, there's a mighty preacher in this country many years ago by the name of W.P. Nicholson. And people were getting converted in his services. And this night, this man stopped him and he said, W.P., one of your conversions. I run in to him the other day and he was drunk. And he says, that's your conversion. And Nicholson said, praise God. And he says, what do you mean, praise God? He says, well, he's one of mine, all right, for if he had been one of the Lord's,
yes,
you'd never found him drunk. You don't want a man-made conversion. We want a God-sent,
yes,
conversion.
Yes, Lord.
That's what we need. Praise God. Well, that was part of my day on Friday. I went to meet him. I never seen nothing like it between the gates. I had to walk a quarter of a mile, leave the car. McCabry jail it was. I don't know if anyone here has ever been in it. It's a real dump. That's the only way I can describe it to you. Most jails are, to be honest, over here in Ireland. But then, people's faults are in there, really, so, you know. But we walked up, we went through one gate, through another gate, through here, through there, fingerprinted, all the rest of it, photographed, everything. And eventually we get in, and I had a wee book with me, where I keep some notes in and things to read to people, and I wasn't allowed to take it in, but it didn't matter. I got so far with it, and then they confiscated it near the end. But it didn't matter. I had the Word of God in me.
Amen.
And it came out.
Amen.
Praise God. But then that evening, I was invited to the youth service. Brother Yule went with us, and a brother Matthew here. And I'll tell you, I was surprised how many young people was there. Where was that, Brother Yule? Right in the middle of Donnacona. Young people from 12 to 16 years of age. And there was a lot of them gathered, and I gave them a testimony. And they sat quiet and listened while I gave them a testimony. And I just trust God to speak to someone, praise God. There's one wee lad, I talked a wee bit afterwards, but just trust God will speak to some of them from the word of testimony. And you know, one time I went through a stage I didn't want to give my testimony. And if you ever get like that, if you ever do, that's the devil. I can tell you that now. Because the Bible says he overcame it by the word of their testimony.
Amen.
By the blood of the Lamb.
Amen.
Praise God. Let us turn to the word of God this morning. Galatians chapter 6 verse 14. And my dad will be preaching tonight. And you know, I was thinking about a message last night. I had all set, and then this morning I got up and went back out and started preparing on another message, but I got so into it, the next thing, the time was gone, I had to come. But there's so many wonderful things in the Word of God, you could spend hours. Let's start by reading verse 14 of Galatians 16. Praise God. But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, for whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. And we know that God will bless the reading of his word. You may be seated. Praise God. I want this morning just for a while to preach on Christ, the glory of God. And when you read the writings in Galatians and Philippians and Ephesians and all these scriptures, and many of them that Paul the Apostle wrote, many of them speaks about the cross. And when you think of the cross is the whole message of the Bible. The cross in the Old Testament is looked forward to, and the cross in the New Testament is pointed to and magnified.
Amen.
And Paul the Apostle, the messenger of the first church age, and the greatest he says of all apostles, he says, I come behind in nothing, in no gift. And we know that God wrought special miracles, the Bible says, by the hands of Paul the Apostle. And he's the one that says, that I might know nothing else amongst you, save Jesus Christ and him crucified. But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. So Paul's saying, if I'm going to boast, it'll be about the cross. If I'm going to glory, it'll be about the cross. In other words, my message and my preaching will be the cross. And Paul says, it didn't come unto you with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit. And he says, the preaching of the cross is foolishness to them that perish, but unto us that are saved it is the power of God unto salvation. Now I was thinking this morning, I was studying this morning, and I was going to preach this sermon, but I didn't get all, you know, everything I wanted. Behold the man. And in John 19 verse 4, there's verse 5, and in verse 4, Pilate introduces him, the man, and in verse 5, Jesus steps forward. And you know, some of the scholars believe in verse 5 that the words, it says, and Pilate said, they say that's not in the original transcript, it's added in. But they say the original transcript, it's in verse 4, Pilate is saying, behold the man. But in verse 5, they're saying that when Jesus steps forward, he says, behold the man. But whether that's true or not, that's not the important thing. But the important thing is this, what I was getting from it. That when you look at those words, behold the man, the whole of the Bible points to that. Behold the man. Behold the man. And all of the Old Testament points to the thought, behold the man. And all of the New Testament points to the thought, behold the man. And then we see that we must see Jesus. And Paul here says, but God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of Christ, Because when you're looking at the cross, you're seeing Jesus. When you're looking at the cross, you're thinking of the Lord. You're seeing the Lord. And you must look at Jesus and none other. I believe that's why Brother Branham, being a great prophet, he had a cross in his car. So that if he saw anything which he won't see, which he can't help it, but he'd look at the cross. And when he'd look at the cross, he'd think of Jesus. The cross was on the mountain, for God visited him. The cross was in the wee shade, and the pillar of light, for God visited him. The cross was in the Branham tabernacle at the front of the church and at the back of the church. The cross was the theme. And in Paul's message, the cross is the theme. In Philippians 3 and verse 8, it says these words: "Yet doubtless I counted all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and to count them but dung, that I may win Christ." You see, it's Christ that we must get to. Brother Branham said people are not getting to Christ. They must get to Christ. If that young man had really been born again of the Spirit of God, he wouldn't have been in and out. He would have been in. He'd have been steadfast. He would have been unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. And he must find Christ. And if he doesn't find Christ, he'll be washed up on the shores of this world, shipwrecked, without hope, and without that great guide, the Lord Jesus. But we must have Christ. Christ must be in the vessel. Christ must be the center of our thinking, the center of our thoughts. Christ is the glory of the Father. Christ is the glory of God. Christ is the one. Amen. The anointed Messiah. The Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord of glory. He must be the one in the center. Moses wanted to see God's glory. And in Exodus 33 verse 18, he said, "Show me thy glory." Where is God's glory? It's in the lovely person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you want to see God's glory today? I've prayed myself. I've heard other people pray, "Lord, show me your glory." When you look at Jesus, you're seeing God's glory. When you look at Jesus, you're seeing God's presence, God's power. For it's all in Christ. 2 Corinthians 4, and verse 4, it says these words: "And whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." So the God of this world, that's the devil. It's the devil that blinds people from being saved. It's the devil that blinds people from the gospel. It's the devil that stops them from getting saved. It's the devil that does it. It's not the fellow in the pew or someone this here or there or that. You can blame games, blame this, blame that. That's all not it. It's the devil. The devil's behind everything that takes you away from God. And Christ is in everything that brings you to God. Amen. The God of this world. "For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. And ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake." Verse 6. "For God, who commanded the light to shine in the darkness, have shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." So the glory of God will be seen in the face of Jesus Christ. That's why when you give somebody a creed or a membership, it's no use to them. Because when they hit rock bottom, as the man says, when they get to the place where they need someone to help them and someone to rescue them, they have nothing. All they have is a piece of paper. All they have is a broken stick religion. But if they really have Jesus in their soul, if they're really born again of the Spirit of God, when the hard times come, when the rubber hits the road, they have a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. When they bend the knee in prayer and call upon the name of Jesus, God says, "Tell his angels, do you hear it? Get ready to go forward." For the Bible says his angels are ministering spirits under the heirs of salvation. Yes. It says the angels of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear the Lord. Yes. And his ears ever open to their cry, and his arms not shortened, but the Lord can hear, and the Lord can reach and save and deliver and set free. But it's the Lord, and only the Lord can do it. Where is his glory? In the face of Jesus Christ. The express image of God is in the lovely person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Doesn't matter how beautiful the church is or how lovely the building is, it's just wood, hay, and stubble, it's nothing. The beauty of it is Christ if He's preached in it. The glory of that church is Christ if He's preached in it. It's the same with people. You can be well dressed, well presented, but the real beauty in a Christian is the glory of the Lord in them, is the presence of the Lord in them, is the majesty of Christ within them. That's the real beauty, and that's the real thing in a person. In Hebrews 1 verse 3 it says, "Who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high." Jesus was the only one that could purge our sins. Jesus was the only one that you could say had no sin. He knew no sin. He was harmless, helpless, and undefiled, separate from sinners. There was no claim of death upon this man, Jesus, because He was born without sin. He was born the sinless, spotless, blameless Lamb of God. His blood was not Jewish blood or Gentile blood, but His blood was God's own blood. God's own created blood was within Jesus. And therefore the life of God dwelt in Him. The life of God oozed from Him. And the presence of the Lord oozed from Him. He was the express image of the Father. The glory of God was found in the person of Jesus Christ. He's the only one who can forgive your sins today. No other priest can do it. No other man can do it. But this man, Christ Jesus, has forgiven our sins. And He's seated at the right hand of the Majesty on high. Let me read you this quotation from a message called Expressions. "There He sent us His expressed image in the form of His Son. God sent His Son in the expressed image of Himself to declare to the human race what He thought of us. He changed His caste to become a man. He became one of us, from God, the Eternal Father, from the great Creator, who before there was a world filled all space, time. There was not even a meter or a light meter. Neither was there any atom or a molecule. He was still God. And He will always be God. But the great one who, if you could look up all night and see the stars in the solar system some years ago, I had the privilege to look through this big scope and where the claim, you could see 120 million years of light space, light meters, and beyond that is still moons and stars and worlds that He controls." So you see, ever before Jesus was here, but a man, He pre-existed. He was a lamb slain from the foundation of the world. The Bible said all things are made by Him and for Him. And without Him was not anything made that's made. He is the beginning of the creation of God. All things are made by Him and for Him. You were made for Him. You were made by Him. The Lord loves you. The Lord's a purpose for you. The Lord had a desire to do good things to you. Made by Him and made for Him. That's you this morning, brother. That's you this morning, sister. The Lord loves you, actually you. And He sent His Son to die for you on the cross, a cruel death, because He loves you. And He wants you to look at His glory. And He wants you to look into His glory so that you're captivated by this man, Jesus. So that your gaze, your stir, your constant steadfast look is upon this lovely person of the Lord Jesus Christ. For there's none like Him. There's none as equal. There's none as much. I preached the sermon, you've heard it. He's the greatest of all Bible men. No other man could be compared to this man, Jesus. He's the only man that was born without sin. Adam had no sin, but he wasn't born, remember. God made him. And he fell. But this second Adam, the Lord from glory, the Lord from heaven, is a quickening spirit. Where is the wisdom of God? It is in the mind of Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 2 verse 16. "For who have known the mind of the Lord, that He may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." If you want to find the Word of God, you'll only find it in the mouth of Jesus Christ. You want to know God's will? You want to know God's mind? Read His will. Read His mind. The word testament is an old English word for will. And here we have the New Testament, the new will. So you want to know God's will for your life? Read the will of God. What's God's will for me? Well, in Romans it says, if you call upon the name of the Lord, you'll be saved. That's God's will for you. In Hebrews 13 and 8 it says, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today and forever. That's God's will. He never changes. He remains the same. For love and I wish him of all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul does prosper. That's God's will. Because it's written in the will. This is the mind of God. His word is His will. His word is His mind. And Jesus Christ is the express image of the glory of God. In Revelation 1 verse 16. And he had in his right hand 7 stars. And out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. And his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. 7 stars. And we know there's 7 messengers, a messenger in each church age, and they were held in the hand of the Lord. They weren't held by some pope, they weren't held by some creed, they weren't ruled by some denomination, but these 7 stars that were in the hands of Jesus were 7 messengers to each age that couldn't be controlled by a system or a world covenant, but they were sent by Almighty God, and they were controlled by Almighty God to point us to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. To bring us back to the Word, back to the truth. The Malachi messenger didn't say, look at me, see what I can do. He said, look to Jesus, I'm just your brother. He said, don't look at me, look at the one I'm pointing you to, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. Does not sound like John the Baptist, I am not the light, but I'm sent to bear witness of the light. I must decrease, he must increase. The fire of God is in the eyes of Jesus Christ. Revelation 14 to 15, you can read it. And his head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow. And his eyes were as the flames of fire. And his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace. And his voice was the sound of many waters. The purity of God shown in the person of Christ. Now here's a point, I want to stress this, I want to make it this morning. I want you young people to never forget this, what I'm going to say. This is why the Christian gospel, the real gospel, is superior to Buddhism, to Jehovah's Witnesses, to the Mohammedans. It's superior to them all for this one reason. Because of this person, Jesus, and because of His purity. Because there's no other man you can compare against this man. You can trace this man from his birth to the cross, and you'll find no fault in him. You'll find no sin in him. He's the blameless, the spotless Lamb of God. But there's no other man you can say that about. If you take the life of Moses, you can see where he made mistakes. You can see, for God told him, speak to the rock, and he smote the rock. You can take all of them. And they're great men, but they're just men. And you'll find mistakes in every one of them. Because God had to have it like that. Because God knew from the beginning the time would come. As the songwriter said, God searched through all of heaven. And he couldn't find one willing to go. And God left the glory and the splendor of heaven above. And he took upon himself the form of a man, and he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Jesus came to this world, this sin-cursed world, to redeem you, to redeem me, to buy us back to God, and restore us back to what the fallen Adam had lost through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Buddha or Muhammad could never do that. You know, when you look at this life, this pure life, when there's another thing about this life that no other man could say, not the blood that was in this man. Leviticus tells us the life of the flesh is in the blood. Leviticus 14 tells us that. And your blood could save me if I was dying, and they drained some of my blood could save you, and so forth. We know that. And you remember I've done a study in the chemistry of the blood, and I showed you when someone gives blood to the blood bank, and they put a preservative in the blood, And then maybe Brother Mark here goes, my type might not match his type, but maybe Brother John's type would match Brother Nigel's type, and so forth, to Brother Mark. And you'd have to find the type that matches you, to save you. And then after a while, even though the preservatives in that blood, it wastes, it congeals, it becomes useless. That's why we continually need people that will give blood today. It saves lives. We know that. We appreciate it. And we thank the Lord for it. But this man, Jesus, when he shed his blood on the cross, it matched every type. There's no type that didn't match. It matched to the prostitute, the saver and redeemer. It matched to the drunkard, to set him free. It matched to any man or any woman, no matter what sins they'd done. This blood matched them, and this blood could clean them, and this blood could purify them, because this is God's supernatural blood, and the life is in this blood, and the life that's in this blood is not just the life like Buddha or Muhammad or some other earthly man, but this life is the life of an eternal God. Amen. An eternal God that spoke and the word was, that said a word and it come to pass, and it was fashioned the way he spoke it and said it, because there's power in his words like in the words of no other man. There's life in this blood. Here's the other thing about this blood. Because of what happened in the Garden of Eden, the Bible says we're born in sin, we sheep in iniquity. We know we come into this world through a sexual desire, but Jesus never came like that. He never came with that desire. He's born without that sin penalty upon him. He's born because God, the Holy Spirit, overshadowed the Virgin Mary. She conceived of God, and Jesus is God's only begotten Son. And you see, every one of us was born in sin, sheep, and in iniquity. And that's why we fall under the scripture in Romans. It's appointed unto man once to die. But after this, the judgment. But you cannot find a scripture that says it's appointed to Jesus to die. It's no scripture can tell you that because of Jesus' sin, he had to face death. Jesus did not have to face death, but he stepped into it willingly. He stepped into it obediently. He took it to lift it from me and you. He took it to deliver me and you from the penalty of death and from the penalty of sin. He became our curse.
Yes.
For cursed is he that hangeth upon a tree. And Jesus took the curse that was in all mankind upon himself, and he broke it, he lifted it, and he gave us great deliverance at Calvary through his death.
Amen.
And through the power of his blood. And here's another thing that none of the other religions can do. On the third day, God raised him from the dead.
Amen.
Brother Branham says they're waiting with the white horse at the grave of some of these great men. They're waiting for them to rise. They haven't rose yet. But Jesus on the third day rose.
Amen.
And the Bible says, but thou wilt not suffer mine Holy One to see corruption.
Yes.
But God raised him up on the third day. He broke the bars of death and hell and the grave. He took the keys of death, hell and the grave of the devil. He says in Revelation, behold, I'm he that liveth. I was dead. And behold, I'm alive forevermore.
Amen.
Better get the coat off now. Praise God. You enjoy the word of God.
Amen.
Jesus rose. Buddha or Muhammad can't do that. You know why they can't do it? That life's not in them. They're born sinners. They're born sinners. That life was not in them. But Jesus was not born a sinner. And there was a life in him of incorruptibility. Of incorruptibility. And me and you need that life transferred to us. That incorruptible power of Christ. And we can have that according to Romans, for it says that God does not impute to us our sins, but he imputes to us his righteousness. And because of the imputation of the righteousness of this man Jesus, we can be made righteous, we can be made pure, we can be made spotless, we can be made whole. And the Lord won't see us how we are, but we'll see us in the person of Christ.
Amen.
He doesn't look at you this morning how you are. He looks at you in the person of Christ. He's your representative. I'm not representing myself. You're not representing yourself. If you are, you'll feel. But he's your representative. And God accepted him. This is another thing. God never accepted Buddha. God never accepted Muhammad. They could never fulfill the requirement of a holy God. But Jesus fulfilled it to the letter. He fulfilled the law. And the Bible says he abolished it in himself. He was the morning sacrifice. He was the evening sacrifice. He was the morning star. He's the day spring from on high. He's the lily of the valley. He's the rose of Sharon. He's the bright, the morning star. He's the Amen. He's the Lord of all glory. And you're accepted in him. And he's the express image of the Father. This purity of God is shown in the person of Christ. The judgment of God is under the feet of Christ. Buddha and Muhammad and all the religions have put God's judgment under their feet. But Jesus could because he dealt with death. Are you hearing me? He dealt with death. The enemy of mankind that came in the garden now has been dealt with at the cross with this man Jesus. He dealt with death. Brother Branham said about the bee. When the bee loses a sting, it dies. Because it leaves a stinger in the victim. And when it leaves a stinger in the victim, the bee dies. It has to die, but it loses a stinger. But before it dies, it can buzz apart. Still scurry you. But it's no sting in it. Because the sting's been embedded in the victim. And that sting was embedded in the sting of death. Was embedded in the flesh of the person of Christ at the cross. Yes. And death, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, O death, where is thy sting? Yes. O grave, where's your victory? It's swallowed up at Calvary. Where is the ministers? They're in his hands. That's where his ministers are. We read, stars are in his hands. Oh no, they're not controlled by some religion. Churchiosity like the Pharisees were. The Pharisees claimed they were religious, but they put them on a cross. But these stars are not controlled by man. They're in the hands of the Almighty. They're in the hands of Christ. They're not in the hands of the elder or the priest or the pope, but in the hands of Christ. Doesn't matter what all the weak tongues say about me. I'm in the hands of Jesus Christ. He's my Lord and Master. Won't matter who ridicules me as a preacher, it'll make no difference. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Glory to God. If you want to see the grace of God, look away to Calvary, where he took our place. John 1 verse 17 it says, For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came. By Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, can you see the great, profound statement God's prophet made in the 20th century? Listen to me a moment. He said that Moses should never have asked for law. He should have asked for grace. That was prophetic for him to say that. Understand what I'm saying? Because you see, Jesus never came for the law, but by grace. Amen. Now we know Moses didn't do it because he had to act out what he did. But if he had asked for it, God could have done it for him. But he didn't, you say. But the prophet knew it was grace. Amen. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. People say the law was given by God. The law was given by Moses because he asked God for law. Now we know God given it. And we know the law is a schoolmaster that brings you. Without the law, you wouldn't know you're a sinner. And we thank God for the law. But when the law is playing its part, you don't need hammered with it no more. You need introduced to grace. Amen. And the law can only bring you so far. And the message of Moses brought you so far. Because it was a law. But this message of Jesus takes you the whole way. Amen. Let me say it like that. These are only my own words now. Hope you're getting it. Amen. Praise God. Look at the love of God. See the heart of Christ. John 15 verse 9 says, As the Father have loved me, so have I loved you. Continue in my love. God loves you this morning. Many people get condemned. They fall short. They make mistakes. We all do. But it doesn't mean you're not saved. Amen. You can lose the joy, but you're still saved. Praise God. I want you to see this supreme excellency of a perfect God, but also the supreme excellency of a perfect man and the Lord Jesus Christ, a sinless man, an unfailing man, a perfect man. And you see, you can't say that no other man. You can't look at a man and say, see the perfect excellency in this perfect man. If you're going to show me anything in a man that what it has to be God that's done it, then I'll say I can see it. But if it's not God behind it, I'm not interested. When I look at the ministry God sent in the 20th century, when I look at a man humble that could stand before the multitudes and know the secrets of the heart, I know that was God in that man. I know that man of himself couldn't have did that. And he says, I had nothing to do with it. I was only there when he came. It was God. And you would know it's God. You would know a man couldn't do that. But we have to recognize that it was God, and we have to appreciate what God's done. The Bible says, tell your children and your children's children's children of the great thing the Lord's done. Amen? Verse 17 of John, verse 2 to 3, it says, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life till as many as thou hast given him. This scripture really helped me, because you see, I was worrying who would get saved and how could I do it, and I cannot do it and you cannot do it. But you see, it says that, look at this again, that he'll give eternal life till as many as thou hast given him. And this is eternal life, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou sent. But another scripture says, none have I lost, O Father, that thou hast given me. Take courage, brother. Take courage, sister. Jesus Christ himself said these words, none have I lost. If you have a son or a daughter that's wayward today, Jesus says, none have I lost that thou hast given me. And we know that it's all predestination. That by the foreknowledge of God from the beginning of the world, he knows everyone that's going to come. He knows everyone that's going to be saved. Yes, he leads us to pray. We go through sorrows, trials, tribulation. But God, being absolutely immaculate and all understanding, knows who come. And I thank God for that this morning. And I'm believing that me and my house shall be saved. Do you believe in it?
Yes, amen.
You believe it. No matter what the devil says, this knowledge brings eternal life. This knowledge brings us to the Zoe life of God through the Lord Jesus Christ, who brought us back to God from the curse of the fall of the first Adam by the pure blood of God in Christ, born of a virgin with no original sin in his body, releasing to mankind the pure, unadulterated blood of God through the lovely person of Christ. The second Adam, the Lord of glory, redeeming us, buying us back to himself at the cross, taking full and total responsibility back of the devil. He took control back of the devil. See, Satan thinks he owns this world. Don't you know he thinks he owns it? Didn't he take Jesus up the mountain and he says, all these kingdoms I'll give you? Can you imagine? Here stands the man that the worlds are made by.
Yes.
The worlds. Not just the world. The worlds, the Bible says. And Satan says, all these kingdoms will I give you if you fall down and worship me. That's how much pride he's got. That's how much full of himself. He'll tell you anything if you believe it. Oh, he's a real boaster. I thank God for the Lord Jesus Christ. Second Adam, the Lord from heaven. Praise God. He took full and total responsibility back of the devil. This knowledge in one split second reversed all the terrible results that happened in the Garden of Eden. And all the sins of all their ancestors and all my sins reversed from a child of hell to the child of a king in one split second. I have no righteousness, none of my own. The knowledge of Christ as my excellency is now my righteousness. The very law that said send me to hell, that same law now is calling me for justification. What happened? The excellency of the knowledge of Christ, my sins are forgiven. It is never tell it again, never mention it again. When God forgives your sins, they're gone. They're dusted, as the man says. They're washed away in the sea of God's forgetfulness. Did you know God could forget? When the Bible says He can forget your sins. You can't. I can't. We've all trouble with it. But He can. He's superior to me and you. That's why we need Him. We need Him. Every hour I need Thee. Oh, come my blessed Savior. Hallelujah. The very law that condemned us now justifies us. My sins are forgiven, never ever to be told again. Sins are gone. If you have confessed them to Him once, you never need to do it again. Amen. If you do, you're making God a liar. And the Bible said He's not a man that He should lie, neither the Son of Man that He needs to repent. But He is the truth. Romans 8 verse 1 says, there is now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. We must go after the things of the Spirit, not the flesh. The excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord is seen in this justifying operation on the sinner's standing. My state might change, but my standing with God cannot change. My standing is in Christ. That's why it can never change. Get this morning. Your state could change, but your standing can never change, because your standing is eternal, because it's in the person of Christ. So if you really see Him, you're always really seeing. You can never be lost once you're saved. They don't believe in preachers that preach. No, there's a one wee dot left. We'll get someone here this morning and pluck it out. That's not the Bible language. The Bible says all my sins are gone. Washed away in the sea of God's forgetfulness. I'm going to drop you as a bomb. Jesus forgives the sins of my past, the sins of my present, and the sins of my future, because I'm believing and trusting wholly in the finished work of Christ. Yeah. Not a half work. This is a complete work. Yeah. That doesn't give me a license to sin, but that gives me faith in Him, what He's done for me. And if I do fall short and make a mistake, because I am a child of God, He'll convict me and bring me to the place, for I've come to Him. And then a prophet comes in the 20th century and says, have you fallen short? He said, if you have, the blood lays there for you. The blood lays there for you. Then he told the vision of the blood circling the earth. And the blood that he saw circling the earth is the blood of Jesus Christ. That's why God doesn't condemn the evil man. And you know, they're going and they're dropped dead, because the blood circles the earth. Now they're going to have a day of judgment coming, sure. But it's because of the blood that we are not condemned this morning. None of us would survive. We can't point to someone, so you see, but he did. Every one of us is guilty. But thank God He lifted our guilt. He lifted our shame. He bore it. He took it at Calvary when they stripped Him naked, when they bruised His face and plucked His beard, and the blood ran over His shoulders, and He stands out before the crowd and says, behold the Lamb, dripping with blood. This is God's bloody Lamb. God's bloody Lamb. His blood was shed for you. His blood was shed for me. And He is our great ransom. Hallelujah. And we were reconciled to God this morning through the blood of Christ. I'm going to have to soon finish. The time's going. Praise God. The excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord is seen in this justifying operation of the sinner's standing. My state might change, but my standing with God cannot change, because my standing is in Christ. The excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ my Lord is manifested in its transforming effects on the lives of those who are partakers of its truth. This excellency of the knowledge of Christ has transforming effects, just like if you think of the Genesis. You notice how Brother Branham called the devil a deformer, a perverter. He said he took the right act and perverted it. And And he said the devil sowed a seed vicariously via the serpent. A deformer. And he wanted to deform what God made. But God is a transformer. You see these, you know, there's wee machines you get. My wee fellas, I think, used to have them. Transformer. Who's ever heard of that? You ever played that one? Use any of these fellas ever had one of them? Yokes, it's called a transformer. It's a man 1 minute, you can turn it into a car the next minute. Well, you see, the power of transformation is in the believer. You hear me now? Because you see, God showed us that in Abraham.
Yes, amen.
And God showed us in Abraham an old man, but he met with the Lord at evening time. Are you hearing? At the cool of the day, he met with the self-existing one, with the great Melchizedek at evening time, and he could swear by no greater. He swore by himself that by two immutable things in which it's impossible for God to lie. And Abraham, in the tent door at evening time, meets with the Almighty God. In this form of Melchizedek, he stands with him and he speaks with him and tells him, "Sir, we'll have a child." The impossible. But because of the transforming power of God. And Abraham's an old man. And you remember 26 years passed when God said it. That Sarah would have a child. And you go over to the New Testament. I haven't got time to go tell it. But it says it ceased to be with Sarah. After the manner of women. It ceased to be with Sarah. But it didn't cease to be with God. It ceased to be with Sarah. But you see, God being the great transformer. But when the right time came, the power of God came upon Sarah. And the power of God came upon Abraham. And something transformed them. So that the word of God could come to pass. And a prophet of God, he's the only one I ever heard preach it. He picks it up and he says, "Look how King Abimelech looked at old grandma Sarah and wanted to marry her." Nobody's heard that. You know the Bible says it. The prophet's the only one I heard ever preach it. See, them God sent them spicy to pick out, tie it all together, those nuggets. Aren't you glad for that? You believe that? I believe it. I thank God for it. I'm feeding upon it. And he said, you see, God's transforming power came upon them. And God transformed Sarah and made her like a young woman. And when King Abimelech looked upon old grandma, he wanted to marry her. She was so beautiful. Something had happened, sure enough. Amen? That's the power of God. You know, that's the type of a rapture. That's the type of us as believers. 1 Thessalonians 4:16 says, "The Lord himself shall ascend from heaven with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up, thrust up into the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." The transforming power that transformed Sarah, that transformed Abraham, is coming upon me and you. And you remember this morning. Remember this as I drop this as we come to close. Abraham had a visitation. He had an appearing before the coming of the sun. He had a super sign. A super appearing before the sun came. You following me?
Yes, I will.
Hebrews 13:8, same yesterday. Not just miracles, this is the whole Bible. Same yesterday what he did there. Today. And we in the 20th century have saw a super sign, an appearing. We saw the face of Christ that appeared in the clouds. How many believes that? It was photographed. And the appearing to Abraham was before the sun came. And we this morning can recognize an appearing, but we're looking for the coming of the Lord. We're looking for the coming of the Son, but we have saw a sign that foreruns it.
Amen.
And that's what the voice said, as John the Baptist forerun the first coming of Christ, so your message will forerun the second coming. And brothers and sisters, this morning, the Lord is coming again. And we're going to be changed to the moment. in the twinkling of an eye. 2 Corinthians, and I'm finishing. Chapter 3, verse 18. But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory. Even as by the Spirit of the Lord. This knowledge changes me from glory to glory. We must be following the Lord. No group or organization of any monopoly on the Holy Ghost. Listen to what Spurgeon's father said. He looked at him from the pulpit and said, "My son, so lift up Christ. Lift him up." And that young man became the great C.H. Spurgeon, the prince of preachers. But as a young man, his father said, "Spurgeon, lift up Christ, lift him up. Lift him." And just this morning, the Lord's been lifted. And you've been lifted by the word of God. Let's bow our heads this morning. Praise God. With every head bowed and every eye closed. You would say, "Preacher, will you pray for me?" You lift your hand up to the Lord. With every head bowed, every eye closed. God bless you. Whatever your needs are, you believe God for them. God can change your situation. I want you to know that. He can change your circumstances. Maybe you're in a situation this morning and it involves someone else. They want to control things and it seems to be out of your control. I want to tell you, God can change their thinking. I believe it with all my heart. Our Father and the eternal God, we thank Thee and praise Thee this morning for the precious word of truth. Father, I pray You bless Your word till our hearts. I ask You'll confirm Your word in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray especially for the hands raised. Bless my brother. Bless my sister. Father, I speak in the situations. I ask that there will be a change take place. I ask in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that You would change that man's thinking. And oh God, You deal a right the wrong. In Jesus' precious name. Bless my sister, I pray. You know what she's praying. You know what's in her heart. And You said You'll give us the very desires of her heart. So we agree this morning and we join in and we say, "Lord Jesus, answer prayer, we pray. And meet that need. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." Now Father, bless us. And part us for Your blessing and make it rich. And out of no sorrows till we would meet again. And Thou would come or call. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ I pray. And Lord, if there's any this morning in this room that's sick in their body, Lord, with a condition, and there seems to be no hope, Father, I ask in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that Thou would minister healing to them and deliver them in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, grant it, I pray. I ask for the young ones that heard the testimony last night. Lord, I know I'm nobody, but You're everybody. Father, I pray that You'll speak to them. That if there's seed there, that You'll reach in and get a hold of them and deliver them and bring them to the knowledge of the truth in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, for this week, for the wedding, for each, for Mark and Ruth, for the whole family circles, bless them. Be everything to them and meet their every need. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ I pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you as a brother comes. And God bless you. 6 o'clock tonight. Now remember, next Wednesday and Thursday, Brother Brian Freeborn will be preaching till the Leash Orange Hall Wednesday night, Thursday night. 7:30 both nights. Make a big effort to come. If you can get someone else to come, come along and hear the word of God. We really enjoy Brother Brian when he comes. And then he'll be with us as well next Sunday, both services as well. So you pray for all these meetings and the Lord bless each one.
Let's wonder if people will sing that hymn, "Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine." Oh, what a beautiful voice.